Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, I'm happy to welcome a new member to the Pardes podcasting team, Rabbi James Jacobson Mazels. This week, Rabbi Jacobson Mazels will speak on Parsha Miketz. Rabbi Jacobson Mazels is a faculty member at Pardes, and his focus is Jewish mysticism. And now, Rabbi Jacobson Mazels.
Thank you, Larry. Today we'll be looking at a piece by Rabbi Kolonimus Kalman Shapira, the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto, who was an extraordinary figure in 20th century Poland. And this is a Dvar Torah, a drash he gave, on Parsha Miketz, our Parsha, at Shabbat Chanukah, in the year 1930 in Poland. And he starts with citing a midrash. And as often with a Hasidic drash, start in some random place citing a midrash, on the verse from the Song of Songs, Im chomahi nivne alea tirat kesef, v'im delati natzo alea luach arez. If she is a wall, we will build upon it a silver battlement, and if she be a door, we will panel it in cedar. How does the Midrash understand this verse? How does it understand, if she be a wall, we will build upon her? It says, if he mamid kechomah, if he stands up like a wall, if he's strong like a wall, then we can build upon it. Then there is defense. We can build upon that resistance, that courage. In delatu natzor alei aluach arez, right? But if he is a door, then we will build upon it a panel of cedar. How does the Midrash understand that? If in dalhu mitzvot, if he is poor in mitzvot, if he does few mitzvot and ma'asin tovim and good deeds, natzor alei aluach arez, then we will enclose it with boards of cedar. What does that mean? So too, just as his form is only temporary, so too I will only be with him, I will only support him temporarily. That is, the Midrash seems to understand this as a sort of dialogue between the person, the active Jew, and God. If the person is able to be strong like a wall and courageous, then the divine is constantly present. But if not, then the divine fades away. In typical Hasidic style, the Eish Kodesh simply says a few things about the Midrash and then moves on. And he mentions, and we'll just mention them briefly, that he says, what does it mean at Mami Dvrim Kechoma? V'omer la'atzma b'chol devar shebkedusha, kach muchrach liot, v'ken muchrach ani la'asot b'loshim terut. Then everything concerning holiness, thus it needs to be, and thus I need to do without any kind of excuse. Shemi shoved b'met et Hashem ro'et atzmo tamid kechayav. Because one who serves God truly sees himself as always chayav, always obligated to be acting. That he always needs to be acting. We're now going to skip to a later part of the drash, where these themes and issues start to come together, and he starts to address our issue now of Hanukkah and the meaning of the Parsha Miketz. So he continues, V'shetire b'ish Yisrael, G'dushata, af b'dvarim gufanim, tzaricha ish liot b'chinat, imami dvarim kechoma, bechlet v'tamid. So for a Jew to see holiness, even in corporeal things, a person needs to be of this aspect of making something, standing his words up like a wall, certainly and always. V'reshita kol hi sheyada ish Yisrael she'eni yechol liftor et atzmo b'yasiya b'vad she'yaseh et ha-mitzvot rak she'yaseh v'yetaken et atzmo. And the first thing is that a person should know that one cannot excuse oneself, one cannot fulfill one's obligation in the simple performance of the mitzvah. Rather, he must do it and yitaken at atzmo. He must do a tikkun on himself. He must transform himself and fix himself. That is, Eish Kodesh is saying that the meaning of the Midrash here, partially, is that what it means to do a mitzvah is not simply to carry out the act. Carrying out the act, in fact, is not performing the mitzvah as it needs to be done. Rather, the mitzvah has a deep purpose, and that purpose is the purpose of self-transformation. And if one doesn't do the mitzvah in a way which acts towards that goal and purpose of self-transformation, one has not, in fact, fulfilled the purpose of the mitzvah, and one is still chayav to do the mitzvah. One is still obligated to do the mitzvah. One is not pator from the mitzvah. Kimisha choshev shadai lo ma sheyaseh et ha-mitzvot, az eino tzrich lichor tamid rak ba'eit shebaa mitzvot liyado. Because one who thinks that it's enough that he just does the mitzvah, then he doesn't need to choose constantly. Rather, he only needs to make some kind of choice, some kind of action, at the time when some kind of opportunity for a mitzvah comes before him. And if there's no mitzvah before him now, then everything is quieted in him. Nothing in particular is happening in him. Right? That is, if one just sees the mitzvah, its actions one needs to do, then when there isn't an opportunity for a mitzvah, One is withdrawn in some way. One is not actively engaged in this pursuit of the divine and in the pursuit of holiness. Right? And also, too, at the time when he's even doing a mitzvah, it might be that even though he's doing it, he isn't actually actively choosing that mitzvah. It is not an active, conscious, and self-aware act with him. Such as those mitzvah which one's just habituated to. He's just used to doing it. Right? As Chazal said, as the rabbi said, we have to say thanks to the heads who in Modim, that part of the Amidah where we bow, just bows by itself. It's just an automatic action, it automatically does it. And because he just thinks you have to do them and no more, right? There's no extra element to the mitzvah other than just doing the action. There's no element here of really choosing to do the mitzvah such as putting on tefillin, etc. Because he already does it by itself. He's already habituated. So that's interesting. Ish Kodesh is saying, habitual action in mitzvot is actually does not fulfill the purpose. Rather, we have to come to the mitzvot with some kind of deep mindfulness, an awareness that each time we experience a mitzvah, we have to choose it, mechadash, choose it anew each time, and bring our attention, our intention, our kavanah to that act. It's only in that way, in fact, that mitzvot can start to fulfill their purpose, which is this tikkun of the self. This idea of bringing forth our true and best self, bringing forth, as the Eish Kodesh says elsewhere, the true Jew that is within us. There's the Yisraeli Ha'emiti, the true Israelite within us, and through our actions and mitzvot, when we do them properly, we're able to bring forth this true self, which is often hidden. But this is not the case. That is, this case of just doing mitzvot automatically. For one who knows that the verse says, you shall sanctify yourself and be holy. Right? Kamo she'ita b'midrash kohelet, she'atorah b'shvil Yisrael. As it says in the Midrash Kohelet, in the Midrash on Ecclesiastes, that the Torah is for Israel. That is, those who recognize that the verse is telling you, you must sanctify yourself and be holy, understand that these actions that God gives us are for the purpose of this process of self-sanctification. This first is the purpose of the transformation of the self. And this, too, is the purpose of the Torah. The Torah is Bishvil Yisrael. The Torah is given to Yisrael to carry out some kind of action on Yisrael. Ukamo she'ita barambam, zal she'techlita Torah, hi levo lebo tidabkun. And just as the Rambam says, as Maimonides says, that the goal of the Torah is to come to the state of cleaving to him. That one must be cleaving to God. The Torah has a purpose, and it's to cause us to cleave to God. V'zei karitzlo, lasot et atzmo. And this is the essence, to make himself. Right? That the essence of our Torah mitzvot is actually this essence of making ourselves, of creating the person that we want to be. It's creating the best person that we can be. And this only happens if we can approach our religious lives and acts with intentionality and focus. V'az afim ein mitzvah lefanav, aval hu ba'atzmo nimtza lefanav. V'im atzmo tzarichu lasot tamid, v'ein lo rega shiyeh lo minucha, me'avodat atzmo. V'tamid tzarichu livchor, v'ashem shura bo tamid, lo lash'ah, u'b'choach levad. And therefore, right, even if there's no mitzvah before him, but he is before himself. One doesn't need a mitzvah to come before you to focus back on sanctity, to focus back on holiness, to focus back on this aspect of mitzvot in the presence of God. Because rather, you are always before yourself, and yourself itself presents that knowledge. It presents those modalities of holiness, of self-perception of the divine. And because he needs to constantly be making himself, to working on himself. And there's no moment when he should have rest from this work on himself, right? That this self-work is actually the essential work and the constant work of the true Jew according to the Eish Kodesh. And it needs, therefore, to be constantly choosing. And then God will be dwelling with him always. And not just for a moment, and not only in potential, but rather in actuality, he will experience the divine presence within him. Kikvar debarnu shenikra kabbalat ha-Torah velo kabbalat ha-mitzvot. Af shikara Torah malei mitzvot u'perushan. And we've already said that we speak about the receiving of the Torah, not the receiving of the mitzvot, even though the essence of the Torah is that it's full of mitzvot and their explanations. Because In terms of mitzvot, the Ish Kodesh says, one who knows them, he doesn't need to accept them. Because when you learn the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the short version of the Shulchan Aruch, one already knows how to do them. Masha Inkein B'Tevat Torah, Haranezu Kamosha Ita Bazar Kadosh, Sheshma Torah, Shemorai Et Derech Hashem. But this is not the case with the word Torah, which hints at, as the Zohar indicates, that the word, the name Torah, is that it teaches us the way of God. And one who knows that it is himself who he needs to make and to sanctify, then he knows that he always needs someone who's going to guide him on the way, a teacher for the way. And therefore he constantly needs to be accepting the Torah. It's very interesting here, because then Kabbalat HaTorah, the acceptance of the Torah, is in fact a constant process. It's not something that happened once at Har Sinai and Mount Sinai, but rather it's something which is done over and over again, because it is this constant aspect of constant choice and constant mindfulness which the Eish Kodesh is discussing. That in every moment we choose again, once more, to turn ourselves back towards God, to accept the Torah, to sanctify and transform ourselves again in that moment. L'chein, mitzvah, mi shekol askoba, hi rak l'chiem et ha-mitzvah rak be'idna da'asik ba, meginu matzle, me'yetzara. Ki rak l'sha'ah, u'b'sha'ah she'eno megaled k'dusha, hi etzlo, rak b'koch v'gufanit. The Torah, mishem v'kesh mora derech, ki rotzeh l'tekenet t'mo v'tamid gam b'sha'ah she'ein mitzvah l'fanav, oved imatmo uvocher. So a mitzvah, one who's just dealing with the mitzvah, just to fulfill it, right, just to do it, then the mitzvah actually is only acting on him at that very moment. And it only in that sense defends him and protects him and saves him from the Yetzer Hara, from our evil inclination, only for that moment when he acts on it. Because it only reveals holiness only in potentiality and only in corporality and only for a moment. But the Torah, if one sees it as that which is the teaching of the way, because he wants to transform and fix himself and heal himself, then it is always with him. Even at a time when a mitzvah is not before him, he is constantly working on himself and choosing this path of self-transformation. Im chomahu. Then he's this aspect of a wall, right? This constancy of the wall. As gam me'ina delo asik ba, matzliki gam az ein etzlo b'koach rak b'foa, v'akol k'dusha etzlo gam hagufniut. Then, also at this time, even when he's not doing it at the moment, it's still saving him, protecting him from the Yetzirah, protecting him from those parts of ourselves which are trying to escape and transform. Then it's not only with him in potential, but actually it is actively with him, this element of sanctity and holiness. And everything becomes divine, everything becomes holiness, even the corporeal. That is, even those parts of ourselves, difficult parts, perhaps things that we think aren't so spiritual, when we see the essential work as the work on ourselves, and the essential element of bringing holiness into our lives as the transformation of ourselves and making ourselves divine, then every element of life in which we are engaged, even the most mundane, whether that's going to the bathroom, or eating, or walking along the way, becomes itself essentially holy. Hayotzei lanu midvareinu, the Eish Kodesh continues, what we understand from what we've said both so far, im chomahi aza hashra'at midit, v'hashra'at kedusha. If he's a wall, if he has this element of constancy, of courage, of mindfulness, of constantly bringing himself back to that awareness of self-work and self-perception and self-divinity, then he has this constant inspiration, this constant bringing down of the light from above. And this is the inspiration of holiness, Hashrat Kedusha. V'imu mitrofef chas v'shalom, az hashra rak l'sha'a, v'hashra asha koch levad. But if he's wavering, if he's back and forth, he's not a wall, then what inspiration he gets is only temporary. And it is only a potential inspiration, but not fully actualized. Kmo kmo divrei ha'olam shehu behester. Like all the matters of the world which are in hiddenness, that is, in our normal perception of life, where we are not able to perceive the divine presence in every matter of life. And this is the way we normally live our lives, and the way one who is not able to be constantly mindful lives his life, like most of us. Vayihimikates. So the Eish Kodesh then finally quotes the opening words of our parsha, right? Vayihimikates, shnatayim yamim ufaro cholem vihine omer alayor. After 2 years' time, at the end of 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream that he was standing by the Nile. So what is this idea of this dream at the end of 2 years have to do with this whole subject we've been discussing? So he cites a midrash which explains the language of this word miketz. Ketz sam lechoshech. The midrash continues by citing a line from Iyov, from Job, which says, he made an end to darkness, that the divine makes an end to darkness. It sets boundaries. Ma'o choshech hayetzara. Shekozman shayetzara bulam, ofel v'tzamavet v'chule. Nekar yetzara v'chule. That is what the midrash says is, what is darkness? It's the evil inclination. It is all these elements of difficulty within in us. It's hatred, it's rage, right? It's misplaced desire. That all the time at which the Yetzirah is in the world, whenever it's active, then there is darkness, right? The darkness of death. But when it is removed from the world, then there's lightness. Then there is an end to the suffering, and this is this idea of Ketz, of making an end. But the Ish Kodesh then continues and reads things slightly differently. He says, Mizeba Choshech vaYetzirah min haKetz vaZman. That darkness and Yetzirah, that is this aspect of suffering, this aspect of our not best self, this aspect of our mistakes, comes from this idea of the end and of time. That is, it comes from the idea of limit and bounds. And this is a classical Kabbalistic notion. That is, that din, or gvura, which are the source in some ways of evil when they get out of control, are also the aspects of divinity and of the world which create boundedness, which create boundaries between people, which create the boundaries which enable things like language, which enable things like the existence we encounter, so that they're necessary and important, but they can also be dangerous and destructive. And here he says that it's time, this aspect of boundedness, this aspect of Ketz and this aspect of time, which is again an aspect of boundedness, things are not simply eternal and flowing, which is actually the source of darkness and the Yetzirah. Ha-hashra'ah shehi tmidit, behit galut k'tusha, hi, vein choshech v'lo yetzirah. But this inspiration, this divine inspiration, which is constant, which is the revelation of holiness, then in that aspect there's no darkness and there's no yetzirah. Ha-hashra'ah shehi bizman v'ketz, she'az bizman hazeh ketzo. But the inspiration, which is within time and limitation, within ending, then time is its limit. That is, there's two kinds of inspiration. He says there's constancy, there's constant mindfulness, and therefore constant inspiration from above. Or there's the person who's back and forth. Sometimes they're focused, sometimes they're not focused. And then that inspiration is limited. And precisely from that aspect of limited inspiration, of limited mindfulness, of being distracted, of not being aware at all times of our true nature, of not being aware at all times of our obligation to work at ourselves, and not being aware of all times of the presence of the divinity of divinity before us, and in the presence of God in every aspect of our lives, that in fact is aspect, that aspect of limitation, of boundedness, which bounds and borders and limits our perception of the divine to only certain moments, rather than it being constant and eternal. That aspect is what allows the opening for darkness in the Yetzirah. For if we were constantly mindful and constantly acknowledged and constantly knew that the presence of God was before us, if we knew constantly that we ourselves were divine and everything we experienced was in fact the divine essence, then there would be no room, he says, for the Yetzirah and darkness. Yoshio rak ba'od shlosha yamim. V'zeh haya inyan shel Yosef. And this was the matter of Joseph. Shemar ba'od shlosha yamim yisa paro et roshecha. Vashivecha el kanecha v'natata kos paro biyado k'mishpat ha-rishon asher yita mashkehu. Ki im zechartani itcha kasher yitav lach, v'asita na'im adi chesed, v'izkartani el paro, v'otzitanu min ha-bayit hazeh. He says, in 3 days, Pharaoh will pardon you and restore you to your post. You will place Pharaoh's cup in his hand, as was your custom formerly when you were his cupbearer. But think of me when all is well with you again, and do me the kindness of mentioning me to Pharaoh, so as to free me from this place. And the Ish Kodesh says this actually is a problem. V'lo hitpalel v'kavel Hashem shetekef ata berega zo, Yoshio, rak ba'od shlosha yamim al yedei sara maskim, lechen shalat ha-choshech v'hester v'adim b'intayim she'eshav od shnatayim yamim. That is, the problem was that he didn't pray and hope in God that immediately at this very moment he was going to save him. He was going to take him out of the pit. Rather, only in 3 days, through the butler, would this happen. And therefore, because Joseph himself was stuck in this category of time, and this category of boundedness, that is, it has to pass a certain amount of time, I have to wait for boundedness, not everything is possible, the miraculous is impossible, then he was stuck in this aspect of darkness and hiddenness, and din, that is, of strict judgment. And so he had to wait another 2 years in the cell. And this aspect of Joseph, the Ish Kodesh understands, is really an aspect all of us. That is, we often underestimate what it is we are actually capable of, or what it is that can actually happen in this moment. We're so stuck in these elements of limitation, of bounds, of saying only certain things are possible, of saying this has to happen first, that we don't realize what's actually possible in the moment. That sometimes the miraculous, the strange, the extraordinary, a true moment of self-transformation can happen just in that moment, a moment of kind of sudden enlightenment. And the Eish Kodesh continues and tells us, V'ze inyan kavta zakukla. And this is the aspect of, if it goes out, we need it. That is, we need to relight it. That is, there's a discussion in the Gemara, in Shabbat, on the Ner Chanukah, on the lights, the candles of Chanukah, and about various elements of the laws of Chanukah. And one of the questions is, if a Chanukah candle goes out, do you need to relight it or not? Do you need that light? Or if it goes out, it went out, that's okay, too bad. So he's now going to talk about this aspect of, if it goes out, we need to replace it. HaMenorah Mikdash Pala LeKadesh V'Le'ir Et Libot Yisrael V'Chen HaNer Chanukah K'Nodah. The menorah in the temple worked to sanctify and to enlighten the hearts of Israel. And so too is the task of the Chanukah candle, as is known. L'Chen Amar Rav Huna, and therefore Rav Huna said in the Gemara, Kavta Zakukla. If it goes out, we need it. You got to relight it. Lo shete'ehara rachlasha'a, rachol hazman yir. So that there would not be just a temporary enlightenment, rather that it would continually illumine us. It would continually illuminate us. It would continually light us up. This is the nature of the Chanukah candle, to bring us this light, to bring us this awareness of the divine into our hearts. And therefore, we can't let it go out. We have to keep it constantly burning. V'in kavta, yitakena v'idlakena shuv. And if it goes out, fix it. And light it again, just as if that spark enlightened our souls, if our perception of the divine, if our perception of the best self goes out, what do? We try to transform it, we fix it, we heal it, and we light it again. The Rav Omer, but Rav, who disagreed, according to the Gemara, said, Lo dai baze levad, rak trichim lasot shelo tichpe. But Rav said, no, that's not enough. That is, Rav had another position where he said, actually, if it goes out, you don't have to relight it. We won't discuss the details here, but the Eish Kodesh understands this to mean that Rav's real underlying position is that we shouldn't be worried about it going out, because rather we have to do it in a way that it should not go out in the first place. Kalomar, anu medabrim berezmes haner Chanukah, v'noda shadinim shemru chazal b'pshat haTorah, himi b'nei sharu kach b'remez v'sod ha'inyan. That is, we're speaking about the hints that are contained in the light of Chanukah, in the candle of Chanukah. And the Eish Kodesh says that it's known that the laws which our rabbis and the Talmud said, which they said was a simple meaning of the Torah, they said it because they saw in these hints of the deep, secret, mysterious meaning of the Torah, of the sod. That is, in the pshat of every halacha the rabbis say, there is a deep sod meaning as well. And according to our current status in our worship, Rav said we can't use its light. That is, there's another and connected machloka which says, when the candle's lit, can you use the light of the candle? Can I read by the Chanukah candles? Rav Huna says, that's fine. And Rav says, no, you can't use them, which is how we paskin today. Ki kiniskar lamala ikar tikun shelo ye'or rach lasha'a, kamo kol devarim agufanim, ele sheidai ish shelo dai lo ba'asiyat levad rach she'yaseh v'kadesh etzmo. Because, as was mentioned above, the essence of this process of tikun, of transforming ourselves, is not that this light will just be for a moment, like all corporeal things which arise and pass. Rather that a person should know that it is not enough to simply do the act of the mitzvah. That's not sufficient. Rather that in doing the mitzvah, he must know and understand and be taking on this practice of making himself and sanctifying himself. And that, in fact, is the true performance of the mitzvah. V'asor l'shtemesh b'ner Chanukah tashmish shechol rak kol makom she'or Chanukah magia yafech l'tashmish b'kedusha. And it is forbidden to use the light of Chanukah for any kind of normal or profane use. Rather, everywhere which the light of Chanukah reaches is transformed into an object of holiness. Ukshefech et atzmo v'tashmishav kedusha lo yichbe or kedusha haba miner Chanukah. And when he transforms himself and his things, all his objects, to sanctity, to holiness, then the light which comes, the light of holiness, which comes from the Ner Hanukkah, which comes from the candle of Hanukkah, will not be extinguished. That is, Ra's position is we don't use the light of Hanukkah. And why don't we use the light of Hanukkah? We don't use it because it symbolizes to us this idea of sanctifying everything, that nothing is normal, that nothing is simple, that nothing is only corporeal. And by not using it, we indicate this idea that wherever the light of Hanukkah reaches, this is an aspect of enlightenment. This is a place where we can sanctify, and we can make it something different than a normal and everyday use. In the end, then, we ourselves are that flame of Hanukkah. If we see our life and our mitzvot and our Torah as an opportunity to transform ourselves, our actions, our belongings, our community, then we bring that light to the world. Then we can be the Kates, the end, the Miketz, the end which is made for the darkness and suffering and our own mistakes. And this is the meaning for the Esh Kodesh of Hanukkah, the burning of candles which happens precisely at the darkest time of the year, darkness, which is like the pit or the prison into which Joseph was thrown. It's at this very time of year that we remind ourselves that we can put an end, a Kates, to the darkness if we ourselves become the constant light. If we bring our constant work, our constant present, our constant choice and effort to see divinity, if we can be ma'amid kechoma, if we can be upright, standing, strong, present, and mindful than like a wall, then we can heal ourselves, and not only ourselves, but the world, and bring light to ourselves and the world in Chanukah. Chag Purim Sameach.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson Mazels. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.